The footy is back in March, and so is Chadstone Toyota as a sponsor of True Bloods.
Aren't we glad about that, Deeble? And you know what? Toyota's new Hilux can help you do these three things. It gives you all the power you need, it allows you to make an entrance, and most importantly, Deeble, it keeps your tools safe.
How good is that, Mads? And Chadstone Toyota have an offer for you. If you take delivery of your Toyota before the 30th of June, you can get $1,500 worth of genuine accessories. How good's that, Mads?
How good is that, Deeble? And that's for the Hilux SR5 Rogue GR Sport as well. T's and C's apply.
I'm Chad Warner, and you're listening to True Bloods, the number one Sydney Swans independent podcast.
Jeez, this is the most one-eyed podcast.
Yeah, it's what we're here to do.
Let's go. Let's actually go.
For mine, boys.
For yours, Deeble.
I'm about to blow a gasket in here.
You've kicked 3 goals for the day, Deeble.
What is going on?
Damaging team.
Damaging disposal.
He's been very, very average.
Our best is the best in the competition. This is True Bloods, the number one independent Sydney Swans fan podcast, back in the Image Online studio in Abbotsford to talk about the magnificent opening round win against the D's, the upcoming clash against the Pies and everything else Sydney Swans, joined as always by the number one man here at True Bloods, the great man Madison Clark. How are you, Mads?
I'm well, Deeble. I'm well, and all the better for going. You know when you go interstate for a game, like you have, remember when you went over to that Adelaide game and it just didn't go your way?
Yeah.
You just went, you spent all that money, you went over there and it just didn't go your way. That was not last Thursday night.
No.
Everything was perfect.
Yeah, it was.
Nothing went wrong. And I'll tell you what, we came away with a phenomenal win against a football side that we love beating.
We got bang for our buck.
We got bang for our buck.
And we have the pleasure as well of being joined by Jevy from the 100K Sports Podcast. How are you, Jev? He's a big Swannies man. And a big sportsman, but a big Swannies man, most importantly. How are you, Jev?
Oh, mate, I am fantastic. I'm so pumped to be on the True Bloods number one independent podcast for the Swans. When you messaged me, Deeb, saying, can you come talk about the Swans? That is not hard for me at all. I'm an absolute Swans and Uffy, and I'm fucking excited to be. Sorry for swearing.
Nah, you're good. You're good.
So, come on, Jev, how'd you get into them? How'd you get into the boys?
So, my old man and his old man all grew up in South Melbourne, so we're Bloods. I've got a partner now, my missus, and she has to be a Swan supporter to be in the family. You got to be a Swan supporter to be in my family, and
as per most families,
I just absolutely love them, always have. So it's bloody the only way
and
I know.
And bit off the cuff, mate. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Question
without notice. Who would your favourite Swan supporter, Swans player of all time be? I should say.
I think Lance Franklin's the best player I've ever seen.
Yep,
ever seen. And even like 21-year-old Hawthorn, Lance Franklin, that kicked 100 goals. And then when he came to the Swans, he just did stuff I don't think we'll ever see again. 1,000 goals, 300 games. He played in 6 grand finals. I think he's the best player I've ever seen in my life.
You just wish we could say he was a premiership player for the Swans, don't you?
It hurts.
It does hurt. Mint, all right, well, thank you for joining us, Jeff. We did a few things that I haven't seen us do in a long time, Deeble.
It was
a long, long time.
Few issues from last year would say, I think, what was the stat? We went in 17 times in front at three-quarter time last year.
Lost 6.
And
lost 6 of them.
We just run over a supposed, you know, top 4 team in the D's with that midfield of Viney, of Oliver, of Petrarca, and our mids ran all over the bloody top of them. Max Gorn.
Nowhere
to be seen.
Nowhere. He couldn't
Brody Grundy's son.
Couldn't take the heat. He couldn't take Brody Grundy's heat. You knew from the first bounce the way Brody Grundy was going about it, going straight to him, put a body on him. We've got the blueprint of how to beat Max Gorn. And we saw it in opening round.
It was interesting, the centre bounces, how Grundy would just automatically come over the other side and stop the run of Gorn. What do you think of that, Jev?
I've actually got I know a coach in the Melbourne building, and I said a couple of weeks ago, have you sold us a lemon in Brody Grundy, or are we getting the All-Australian Ruckman? And he goes, he is going to thrive on the SCG, smaller ground. He likes playing 90% game time as the Ruckman. He likes just being the number one guy, and he just showed it week one as a Blood. He was unbelievable, boys. That was so good to watch.
It wasn't it? You know what I like, Jeff? how happy and content he looks. That is my favorite thing. First and foremost, I'm a real intangible sort of guy, Jeff, right? I don't worry too much about the stats. I look at it and go, okay, Brody Grundy's come to our club table. He's all over the socials. He's with the boys. He's playing golf. He's engaged to his missus. Big smile on his face. And then he goes out and let's not beat around the bush, under immense pressure coming up against the guy that, or the team that didn't want him, and the ruckman that beat him out for the number one spot, and he absolutely towels him up.
Yeah.
That doesn't get much better than that, boys.
Yeah. Around the ground, he was phenomenal. Like, it was pretty even in the actual ruck contest, but he flogged him around the ground. He got around the SCG, as you say, Jeff, really well, and I was doing my research, as I do.
Every week.
I come in here prepared, and I was listening to Horses Presser on the way in, and he was... one of the journos asked, oh, is Brody Grundy under heaps of pressure, you know, playing his two former clubs, you know, the first 2 weeks? And the horse says, you know, he's not really under pressure up here. It's such a different environment. True. You know, he's not even worried about playing, you know, in the first two games playing his two ex-teams. And I think we'll see him go pretty well again this week.
So true. And how fit did he look?
Oh, mate.
He looks in good shape. He looks like he's going to run on the ground all season.
But that's what he wants to do. He's a number one ruckman. And there's a couple of things. Well, there's one major point that's pissed me off for a couple of years now that I want to bring up. Jeff, and not to have you as the whipping boy, but you did say the SCG is a small ground there.
Yeah.
Now, I am going, my head will explode if I hear another person in the mainstream media who should know better. It's 2.5 metres shorter each side and 2 metres shorter on the width. It's not even measurable how small the difference is between the SCG and the MCG.
The game plan doesn't change at the SCG. I think that's as much as you sort of need to talk into
100%. And, you know, other podcasts, other Melbourne-based podcasts sort of jumped on and said, oh, well, let me tell you, that isn't fit to play football on. It's too short. That is the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Is that what that, was said that is Monday what they said. On
they
the review?
Said it was one of the excuses, one of the variable factors as to why they lost is it's not fit for purpose and it's too muggy up there.
Oh, clutching at straws already, the boys.
Fucking hell.
Maybe they might want to have a look at that conversion front of centre.
Yeah, no, they did talk about that.
Yeah, they might want to start there first and then maybe worry about the ground, maybe about 10th on your list of things.
But what I will say is Jared Healy, it blew up about this on SEN because Kane said, oh, you know, short, smaller ground. He was like, in the 80s it was smaller.
Yeah.
It's,
it had an extension in 90, or maybe early 2000s, something like that.
It does, and I'll tell you why it looks smaller. You know, when you watch a game at the SCG, the camera is at such a lower angle.
Yeah.
You can't actually see the depth of the ground, you know?
And as we saw, we were three rows from the front, Jeff, and there's a big sort of circular motion.
Yes, cylindrical.
you got to fall to both sides. You got like the cricket pitch in the middle, and then it falls away from both sides. You struggle to see over the other side of the ground. So that would play into capacity to what's going on. But weren't the mids just great?
Oh, they were unbelievable. James Rowbottom, he's not underrated on this podcast. He's not underrated to Swan supporters, but in the competition, he just rocks up every week. He lays tackles. He'll put his body on an opposition best player.
Bloody oath.
He is a star in my eyes. Absolutely love him. And Chad Warner's about to have a career year, and he's probably already had a career year, and he's going to go up again and again and again.
How's the just simply the confidence? Get that ball, bang it on his boot from 55, put it straight through.
The only elite players do that.
Oh, yeah.
To have the ability off a step from 50-52. Chad Warner.
We love Chad.
Let's go.
We love the haircut.
Yeah, it's good. It actually, you know, is he struggling a little bit on top hairline wise?
You know what? When you see drastic changes like that, that is the first thing you go to.
Or is it just the natural hairline? It's not too bad, and I'm liking what you're putting out there, Chad. We've got Chad's parents listen to the podcast, so shout out to Anita.
No, so I don't know about the hair loss factor, but I think, you know, he just, as you know, most young men do. You have a phase of the two-minute noodles hair, and you come out of the phase when you go, right, I'm not far off winning a Brownlow. I want to have my hair in a particular way when I'm on the big stage. But God, he was phenomenal. James Jordan, I really liked as well.
If you were going to give us no Mills, no Parker, no Taylor Adams,
dude,
and Errol Goulden has 20 touches,
dude,
and we just pumped that midfield, which we did, we would have taken that every day of the week.
Oh, mate. And that was the most pleasing thing to me, knowing we've harped on a great deal, Jev, about our depth. Right, we've said, you know, we haven't had the depth that we have now in the previous years, and that's, you know, become our undoing in a lot of ways. You couldn't be more comfortable after that performance from essentially what would be, you know, this, if you're going to put it in ice hockey analogies, the second line. You know, this is not all of the A graders are out, and we tailed up an AA plus grade midfield.
100%.
It's berserk.
Now, boys, we put out the call for one man. It wasn't necessarily a party invitation, Mads, but we put out an invite to one guy to lift. He got left till late in the podcast last week, but he must have been tuning in. He's a big fan of the pod. Isaac Heaney.
Oh, wasn't he massive?
26 touches, 13 clearances.
13!
8 inside 50s, 144 on your super coaches, Mads.
Jesus.
Isaac Heaney was berserk in the middle, boys.
That was, like, so, so impressive. To watch him 80% midfield time, have 26 touches, he still kicks a goal, he still looked dangerous forward, and he was tough. He was clean. His kicking was good. Oh, I was so impressed.
What's your thoughts, Jev? We've been sort of, I guess, been a bit of a roller coaster with this podcast, up and down, whether we want him as a midfielder or as a forward. Where have you sat in the debate?
Well, his talent and just raw athleticism is probably what hurts him the most, because he can take a hanger, kick five, have a 40-goal All-Australian season by just being a deep forward. So it's sort of like, if you've got that in your arsenal that you can have a guy that's going to kick 40 goals in a season and be an Australian, you leave him forward. But he must have gone to horse and gone, no, I want to be a midfielder. It's what I was as a junior. And he's just got 3 Brownlow votes in his first, like, full game as a midfielder for the Swans.
Yeah.
So he's just a freak talent, isn't he?
He is. And that's the thing. When it starts to click, because I had a Melbourne supporter messaging me that night, and he said, That is not Isaac Heaney. That's Isaac Heaney when he plays Melbourne. That is not the actual Isaac Heaney. I said, mate, you've got it all wrong. That is Isaac Heaney. We just don't see enough of it. Like, this, we have not seen this man's potential yet. I strongly, strongly believe that.
Well, it's the first time in what he's been in the system, you'd say 9 years now.
Yep.
It's the first time he has ever done a full preseason in the midfield and then started the season in the guts.
Yep.
Tended 15-odd centre bounces. He was phenomenal around the ground. And when you get this continuity in your game, this is when you see him flourish.
Yep.
You're not getting thrown. Like, how long was Heaney the Mr. Fix-It? You know, we're trying to kill a game. He goes up back. You know, he's the one who goes forward to kick the goal. You know, when we need the injection, the centre clearance, Heaney goes in there. Now he knows his role. He's done the preseason. He's got the work under the belt. And he's flourishing.
Yeah.
I think, it's so exciting to what Heaney can do. We've always spoken about him.
We've always
talked about
him as a
top 5 player in the comp. And this could be it, boys. This could be the season.
Don't worry. I've had him top 5 for, and I've copped it from
you do cop it, don't you?
You cop it. Because
what's it called? Jevy's pyramid.
He's my pyramid. I've had him up there. But you can, like, his raw talent and just athleticism is like nothing I've ever seen before. The way he jumps, runs, he's a beautiful kick. Do you remember, it's too many years ago, that left foot snap against the Tigers on the
Yes, deck. Man.
Of course I
Who
do.
Can kick that goal as a right footer sort of thing? Yeah. It's just,
unbelievable.
He's a freak. Yep.
Yeah.
He's got 5 weeks of this, right? Yep. He's got 5 weeks of this, and hot tip, boys, I don't think he'll be going out.
Yeah.
I think he'll be staying there.
Yeah, 100%. There's no doubt he's. I think he's built for that, and
because it's perfect with Parker being the age that he is, and how his role is going to change. I'm just so excited that it's another head to the Hydra in the midfield.
It is.
You know, it's
it
berserk,
is.
Man.
Now, boys, I have found someone who had won. I've watched the replay twice. That's how invested I've been this week. There was one bloke who was outstanding. I don't think he's been mentioned once in the mainstream. Who was the most underestimated game for you? I'll let you go first, Madison Clark, and I'll tell you
the
if I agree.
The most underestimated game. Jordan was underestimated.
Came into it, was slow early, yep, and then worked his well into yep. it well, for sure.
I would also say Ollie Florent.
Very good.
Was very good.
Not who
Will Haywood was very good as
made
well.
Made the most of his opportunities.
Yeah, made the most of his opportunities for sure.
Jeff?
Nick Blakey has an All-Australian season just loading. Yep. And he, like, if you're going to let him have 26 touches, he is going to slice and dice you by foot, taking the game on. I'm just going to say Nick Blakey, and I can't wait to hear your answer.
Please.
The most underrated game on the weekend for me was Dane Rampey.
Yep.
Mate, he was bullet-like off halfback.
He was, you're right.
Breaking open the game. There were four or five passages of play where the old man Ramps, who's 33 now, I think he's getting on to, just dominated with that left foot and broke open the game, saw the angle, made the pass, and got it done.
What did he go at?
I couldn't tell. I'm on Footy Wire, Mads. It's ever reliable.
Oh, the ever reliable.
You've got to get Footy your AFL Live app.
Yeah, I will. I will. And now, what do you reckon he went at?
Oh, you see, it wasn't overly high, right? It was 75% right foot.
What do you reckon?
I'll go 70. I'll go 80%. But he
80%
looked like he wanted the ball in his hands as well, which is confidence. Wants it in his hands. He wants to be in the link.
I'm comfortable when he's got it in his hands.
Man, he's one of the, and we've spoken about this before, Mads, he's got that penetration in his kick to break the line.
He was breaking lines before Nick Blakey was even playing bloody, was even in the draft.
Was out of the womb, I thought you were going to go with. But yeah, Ramp's game was phenomenal.
All right, he went at 79%.
There you go, 80%. This man knows his stuff.
And that's good. You know, to have 19 touches, 7 of which are contested,
yeah.
That, you know, they did pepper the inside 50s. There's a couple of statistics that I saw that I think are really telling with how confident I am with a couple of things, Jev. The coaching. Now, take it back a couple of years, and I'm talking 5 years ago now, I was asking for horse's head. I didn't see a plan B. I know now that I was wrong. Because we have found a number, and this sort of came in the second half of last year. We have found multiple ways to beat teams.
Yeah.
And I think we were very clear in our intent on Thursday night. I think the big one for me is we had 36 more marks than them. We possessed the footy.
Yeah.
We kept it off them. We played tempo footy in
tempo
some stages.
Footy, yeah.
Which is, I think, we know we can run and gun. You've got your Nick Blakeys. You've got your guys through the middle. You've got your slingshot off halfback. We know we can play that sort of footy. 36 more marks.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a good start.
And, of course, how do we win games, Deeble? What two key statistical areas do we win in or match it in?
It's just got to be the clearance game.
Clearances.
And contested
ball. Footy. If, Jev, I'm sure you've heard, if we win or match them in those statistics, we win. We won the clearances, 45-34. We won the contested footy by one.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, we win the game. Every single time, you can set your watch to it, Jeff.
I can't remember the exact number, but it was after halftime. I think we were plus 10 or plus 15 contested ball in the second half.
Yeah.
And you could see it like eye test, not even stats,
yeah,
eye test.
Yeah, totally.
We were just dominant. And every time we touched the ball, we were looking to score. We're going forward, looking to kick goals.
And put it this way, this is why I'm pretty comfortable with the coaching. We were losing on every key stat. Up until halftime.
Yep.
And we completely changed it around.
And the biggest thing in that first half was the ability to finish the work and get that scoreboard pressure, which Melbourne has had a huge issue with for the best part of 6 months. Yep. They've dominated games of footy. And look, they were on top in that first, I would say, quarter to a quarter and a half. And then we really started to take control. And at the same time, we had that scoreboard pressure on them, the ability to finish some of our work. And we missed a few as well, don't get me wrong. But having that scoreboard pressure on teams makes them play a different way. They had to go away from their brand, and we were just able to, you know, run over the top of them. And it's such a pleasing performance first up. Like, you couldn't really ask for too much more. We've corrected a lot of wrongs from last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, the ability to just run over the top. We're a power outfit that can get it done in multiple ways. And that's scary for opposition teams.
Jev, what do you think of Robbie Fox Ford?
Yeah, interesting to hear.
Well, I didn't see it coming on Thursday night. But geez, he fucking plays with some effort, doesn't he, boys? Like, he is not going to leave any stone unturned out there. And he got himself involved. At the start, I'm like, "What? Like, what's he doing down there? He's a back, this and that." But he gave himself his best chance. I thought he did a good job on Lever. And he just kept getting the ball inside 50, getting it in his hands or putting pressure on. So you can tell how hard he works and all that stuff. So I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I'd like, who's he going to look? Maybe he might stand next to Darcy Moore this weekend. And you know he's going to give it his best crack of stopping him and doing his role for the Swans.
I think it's a really smart from the coaching staff. Pre-season, and still a little bit now, I'm like, this could be the start of the end of Robbie Fox, right? Really made his way at the level, played awesome on Cameron in that 2022 granny, can play key back role, right? But I think the coaching staff, and after listening to a few things today as well, I think the coaching staff have identified how important the opposition interceptor is.
That's right.
Right? That's what they've identified, and they're like, who can match up and play the defensive role, both in the air and on the ground? And as you mentioned, Jeff, with the work rate, that's one thing you do not have to question with Robbie Fox.
No, you can never.
The best 2K runner at the club will run all day, simply not an issue.
Yeah.
And, right? And they've clearly made that identification in the off season,
and I like what you said, Jev. I the effort factor, of course, never questioned. Right, it's funny when he hit the post that gave me PTSD to the Geelong game last year. He kicked a goal. I think the most important one of the key factors in beating teams, especially teams that focus on taking intercept possessions, is nullifying that. Will Haywood does a good job of it.
Yeah.
And maybe Robbie Fox is another one that can do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a defensive forward role for mine.
Yeah, for yours.
Thank you, Debra.
It's going to be one other thing I would put up there is it's one of the most hardest positions to be consistent at.
Yeah.
He's done a great job at it first up, but can he be consistent?
Yeah. Errol was quiet, which, as we said before, pleasing. If we can get it done without Errol having a starring role in it, that's pretty handy.
Yeah, I think we like that 42-2 against the D's last game of last year.
Robbed of three votes.
Right, he should have been in front. He should have been in front Brownlow night. That was one of those games you're like, yeah, this kid is an absolute star. And I've heard you boys say it before. If he was in Melbourne, he does the exact same stuff Nick Dacos does. He just doesn't get the love for it. We watched every game last year. I'm just like, I've never seen anything like this kid at the Swans sort of thing. He has 20 touches, a bit of a shocker. You could tell he was getting a bit frustrated and the ball just wasn't going his way. We still win and he's going to explode this
week on
the
G. And this is the thing. Those conditions were extremely difficult.
Very tough. And that was one of the main reasons why I think we won the game as well, is we adjusted to the conditions 100% better than the D's did.
Yep. It was, Jev, it was like a sauna there.
It was berserk, super hot.
Humid.
Super sticky. Oh, yeah.
Slippery, yuck.
Ball was like a cake of soap.
It was tropical.
But look, Errol's always going to take on those kicks. You're going to see him probably have more clangers than most blokes in our team because we're giving it to him so often. He's had the 20 posies and 16 kicks. That's the ratio we want to be seeing.
Yeah.
Because that's what's damaging. Damaging disposal.
Damaging disposal, Debo.
Nah, it's exciting to what Errol can do. And as you guys say, being able to get the job done without Errol starring, that's big for us.
Massive.
As well.
Now, I don't want to put a dampener on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not his conditions, I get it. Or not any of their conditions, really.
Yeah.
I was pretty disappointed with Logs. I'm not fussed with him, you know, coming out of the game with a goal. That's okay. It's more just the fundamentals as a lead up forward. I think he's gotta be that sort of forward. He's not gonna take a contested pack mark. He has to be on the lead. He's got good leg speed at the burst, and he needs to get his hands out of the front. Now, you may be sitting there going, Mads, you're a peanut podcast host. What are you talking about? I'm looking at it with my eyes, and I'm seeing him trying to take chess marks and getting it spoiled. You got to get the jukes out, Deeble. Get the jukes out, even if it is a cake of soap. Get the jukes out and muck the football, goddammit.
But we were saying this from the other side of the ground, mate.
Yeah,
we were on the other side and we're like, get the jukes out, Logs. Jesus. But, yeah, it was a disappointing night for all three forwards, I feel. I thought the
McLean was good in the
Dostrich
ruck.
Was good in the ruck, chopped out well. But those guys, Armadi, no impact. McLean, very minimal forward, had that patch in the second quarter where he had a couple shots on goal, only converted the one, so and Logs as well. But it really wasn't the night for the forwards. But once again, your key forwards having no impact, kicking one goal between them, and you're still running over the top of the Ds. You got Bailey Fritch, who kills us every time, right? We said, get a man to Bailey Fritch, has six touches, kicks four goals. That guy does my head in.
Yeah.
Who's taking him? Who is nullifying his impact, mate, next time we play him?
Looking at him does my head in.
I'm sick of it.
It's funny you say this, boys. I made a call on our podcast in the preseason that if Logan, Amadi, and McLean combine for 100 goals on the season together, probably hopefully 40 from Logan, 30 from the other boys.
That's flag. Yeah.
That's top four, absolutely locked. When they were on one possession in the halfway through the second quarter, I'm like, oh, I made a shocking call here. They were struggling in the wet. It wasn't their day. But I like that they played all three. And I think they're going to play. I don't know if we're going to see Sam Reed or not. But one of them's always probably going to get subbed off for leg speed at the end of game. So I like we're going to start with all three. And if they're dominating, they'll sub someone else off. But Amadi probably knew, like, if it's not working, he probably knows it's him, McLean, maybe Logan, is going to be the one that gets subbed off.
Jeez, he's adding a bit tonight.
He is.
Wow.
He is. Wow-wee. Big Jeff.
Well done, Jeff. Yeah, you mentioned something there, getting subbed off. There is a couple of people that are the archetypes of the perfect sub. Sam Wicks is pretty much the perfect sub,
yeah,
in my opinion, boys.
For yours.
For mine,
yes, people. Absolutely.
What do you think? How good is he?
He's another one. No superstar. He just comes on and gives effort, and he gives energy, and he works his ass off, and you can see it.
Mm.
And like you need role players to win premierships. You need role players in your 22, 23. It's not all superstars. You can't have 100 superstars on the field. So I love him. I love the effort he brings. I like the bit of prick he's got about him.
Yeah,
he likes hitting someone late occasionally.
So Jeff, we are big advocates of a bit of prick in you on the True Bloods podcast. So don't worry about that. No, I'd love him to start, but he's just the way he's built as a player is perfect for one quarter of footy, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's horses for courses always, right? Those conditions on the weekend, I don't think you're ever getting three forwards up and going.
Yep.
Like big blokes over 195 up and going in those conditions. Yeah, if there were wet conditions, I would be spewing it if we were playing all three.
I didn't understand why we were playing all three.
Learn from your mistakes. Great that, you know, Wixie came on and had impact, but you have to learn from that, I feel. You got to have dry conditions, sun over your head, play all
really,
three. 100%.
It's more like if it's Marvel.
Yeah. Yes. It's either sun or Marvel. Yeah. I think you got to look at that.
And then who misses? Is it Amardi?
Amardi at the moment would be number three of three, I would say.
Based on form. But I
love him.
I love him too. And how's the cornrows?
Yeah,
he's elite.
Bringing some coolness to the Swans. He's looking good.
Well, I think he's our only man of colour in the team. Otherwise, we're, you know, a bunch of white boys.
Oh, yeah, white blonde boys.
Boys from Bondi.
God, that's rare.
Yeah.
I think he's probably three of three just at the moment. And that's going to change over the
season. It's based on form.
Right?
We were right last week. Well, I was right with McLean as the chop-out ruckman.
Yep.
That probably puts him to seed number one.
But I actually think that's all conditions based as well.
Could be.
If it's a nice day, I think you benefit from the athleticism of Amardi in the ruck.
It's a fair call.
If it's a slog and you just need a body in there to sort of jostle for position, then McLean's going to be your guy.
The big dos.
So it's good problem to have, Jeff.
We can't underrate McLean's role of also beating up Max Gawn a little bit. When he was in there, he was just giving it to him and he wore him down, and then it allowed Brody Grundy to dominate that last 30 minutes.
Juzzy ran through at one point.
Yeah, it was a team.
They reckon Blakey was getting in him. Yeah. You guys were there, so if I didn't see it on TV, they reckon every Swan would just get around him. And we've put that on tape. It's a worry for the D's now. We don't care about the D's that much, but every team's going to beat up Max Gawn like the Swans did. It's on tape now, and you saw how much he wore down.
Port did it before as well,
and
it really worked for them. We've definitely, I think, provided the blueprint. You're spot on.
Yeah, bang. But, geez, boys, what a start. Opening round. It's the best round ever. Played every year.
Every year in Sydney.
Said some of this crap coming out of Melbourne.
Oh,
seriously.
Oh, my God.
Can we get just like a little bit of, you know...
What did Chris Scott say? It tampers with the fixture. Shut up, Chris.
Oh, it's just one thing doesn't go the Melbourne-based team's way, and they're fucking crying poor every time.
It's fucked. They're whinging they're not playing at the MCG for the 17th week in a row
and
stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Unreal. Unreal.
Does my head in.
But we take the 4 points. We move on to a massive game at the G Friday night against the Pies, and we might take a little break there, Jeff. We'll jump into some social engagement, and then we got the preview after that. We'll be back. Sapphire Golf Tours are on board for the month of March as sponsors of True Bloods. How good's that, Mads?
Stable, it's great, and you know who owns Sapphire Golf Tours.
Who would that be?
That'd be Jimmy Wheeler.
Yeah, and his business partner, Mark, as well. Have all your golfing needs sorted out on the Sapphire Coast, and let me tell you, Mads, it is one of the most underestimated parts of the world. You got to get to the Pambula Marimbula Golf Club. It is sensational.
Yeah, it's phenomenal for boys' trips, birthdays, anything where you've got a group of guys and you're sort of not sure about how to go about organising your time there. Jimmy will sort you out at Sapphire Golf Tours.
And don't forget, Mads, they're on your Facebooks, they're on your Instagram, so hit them up on the socials at Sapphire Golf Tours and give them a follow and tell Jimmy you say g'day. Chadston Toyota are back on board as a sponsor of True Bloods this month, and you can find them down at 1547 Dandenong Road in Oakley, or call the team on 9568-0933. And geez, they've got some deals for us, Mads.
Oh, Deeble, don't they ever. They're continuing the vehicle lube service from last year, Deeble. That's for the SUV and 4x4 vehicle services, which is $320, including GST. The small passenger vehicle, which is $260, including GST. And essential service only, not logbook. And of course, Deeble, as always, T's and C's apply.
Call up the service team and get your lube inspection booked in. And don't forget about the used cars, the new cars down there, the brand new Hilux, Mads, down at Chadston Toyota.
Welcome back to True Bloods. Thanks for coming, Jeff.
I've absolutely loved it, boys. Absolutely
loved it. I'm glad. I'm glad. It's good. It's always good to mix it up a little
fresh
bit.
Fresh voices, fresh opinions.
I love doing it with you, Deebs. It's great, but a third every now and again isn't too bad. David.
Definitely, mate.
Isn't too bad.
It's very good.
Now, we do like to involve the community. To us, Stable, it's community first, right?
We don't do the podcast for us,
don't
Jev.
Do it for us, Jev. We do it for the faithful. And we like to put out a question to them over an afternoon. Unfortunately, I forgot this afternoon and Deeble picked up my slack. Deeble, what'd you go with?
I went with hashtag Ask the Faithful. Nice display from the lads on Thursday night with some room for improvement too. What was your number one takeaway from the game. Now, do you have some comments on your Facebook, Mads?
Well, can we just go through our number one takeaways first? Because I had a plethora of them.
Did you?
Yeah,
did you now?
A plethora of them, and I actually went to the trouble of writing them down.
Gee whiz, that is...
My big one, I've got two really quick ones. One, our back six was heavily underrated, criminally underrated. We absorbed a great deal of inside 50s. We need to sort of cut that down.
It was 50-odd. It wasn't too bad.
I think the sum of all the parts in the back six did a phenomenal job.
Yep.
An absolutely phenomenal job. And I don't think it was talked about enough. And the Channel 7 commentary is as bad as it's ever been. And see, it's funny because James Brayshaw, I really like him on Triple M.
Yep.
I think he's so bang average on Channel 7. Goal, Sydney. Goal, Florent.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, they love it when the pill's in this man's hands. It sounds like it's AFL Evolution. Yeah. It's shocking.
Yeah. Yep.
Appalling.
Yep. So they were the takeaways.
They were the takeaways. Yours, Jeff?
Jeff?
Any takeaways, mate?
Oh, I just loved in the second half how hungry we are to score when we get the ball. And it's... 5 goals up, we're still pulling the trigger in the into the middle. We're giving hands. We're getting deep entries, dangerous entries. We're looking to kick goals, and you got to do that to win. You got to kick goals to win flags. So,
it was really foot on throat stuff,
it
was wasn't
foot
it?
Foot on throat, yep. And we just kept running. And when we were up by 4 goals, we kick another one. We just kept running, kept putting the pressure on.
It's something we didn't see last year.
Yep, I agree. And you look back to our 05 team. I reckon we used to have 3 taggers as midfielders.
Yeah,
and now we've just got guns, looking to kick goals, looking
That's
to get
right.
forward.
Now, Mads, if you jump over onto the Instagram,
yes,
Toby T had some good things to say. There are a couple of things good post-game, but my biggest takeaway was probably Isaac Heaney. I called for a lift, and we got it. And we can't always say that with Heans. He's put under a lot of pressure a lot of the time to perform. He's the pretty boy. He's the guy from Bondi. He's on $1 million, but that was $1 million game.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a player who deserves $1 million, and that was awesome
to
see.
He's just got to keep stringing it together, right?
He does.
Fundamentally. Hey, this is Toby T with a little review on Friday morning, 7 a.m.
Always good for a laugh, Toby.
Hello, my friends. Toby T from Castle Crag. I hope you're well. What a wonderful way to start the season it was. In fact, I didn't make the game. I was out at a suburban soccer ground watching my daughter play. I had tickets, but they rescheduled the game, the club. So there I was, listening to it on the headphones, jumping up and down every time we kicked a goal, inappropriately, ripped off my pants. The other parents are saying, stay away from that pervert over there running around with his pants off. Don't you laugh, fellas. I know somewhere up in the bloody Bradman stand there's a pair of pants with your name on it, Deeble. What a win, boys! What a win! What a way to start the bloody season. How good's that Brody Gundy? Matty Roberts, you'll win a Brownlow. Fuck them. Fuck Melbourne, and fuck you, Collingwood. We're coming for you.
Very good. Very good start to the season from Toby T. He's come back in good form.
We love Tobes.
And there might have been one more. I'm not too sure.
Tom Isaacson.
Yeah.
Friday, 10:30.
Yep.
Deebs, Mads, True Bloods faithful. Tommy Isaac here from WA. Look, how good was last night and our last quarter? We went bang after 3-quarter time, which is such a difference from last year when we dropped
Bang.
2 to 3 games because our last quarter efforts were pretty poor. Huge turnaround from last year. So excited about that. We've got the match fitness in hot and humid conditions. Boy, that was good. Anyway, up the Swans, up the potty. Go, boys.
On you, Tom.
Go, boys.
Go, boys. That's spot on. Yep. Exactly what we were saying before. That's the most pleasing thing has been our ability to identify our deficiencies and resolve them as quickly as humanly possible.
For sure. And Jeff, have you gone on to the Instagram for some comments?
I'm on the Instagram. We've got Jakey Fisher, I am James Barber, and Sam B. Johnson all just pumping up Brody Grundy. So Sam B. Johnson, for mine, the influence of Grundy, man, the stoppage numbers and hitouts to advantage, and we don't even have a full strength list, and they're all just talking about Grundy, the missing link.
For his.
He's the missing link. Like, they're very excited about Brody Grundy
on
Instagrams.
I mean, how can you not be, right? Victoria, what an asset Grundy is for mine. For yours, Victoria.
Absolutely. Over on your Twitter, fellas, because we are on your Instagrams, we are on your Facebooks, we operate on your TikToks from time to time, and we're 100% on your Twitters. Over there, we've got Polly Porridge.
Ah, yeah, right.
Queen of Twitter. The Queen of Twitter, yes. Who was operating at the 150th Guernsey. And
she was.
Yeah, you got to go on the... You simply have to go over onto your Twitters and have a look at the Sydney Swans dress that Polly made herself and wore to the game on the weekend.
Wow.
Amazing stuff. You've got to go and have a look. Wowee.
Wow.
Polly goes with, our midfield depth is going to win us a flag. And it speaks true. Yep. There's so many numbers to run through the middle of the ground. Yep. That's what you need to win flags. You need a little bit of luck. You need a healthy list. And you need midfield depth, boys.
Yeah, do.
As you boys have been saying, it's the deepest I've seen our list in a good couple of years.
Oh, without a doubt.
Hamling and Francis sitting, like, not playing, but they're ready to go. Sam Reed's pretty ready to go. It's deep, boys.
Oh, and this one's pretty funny. Errol Goulden's left peg, but the comment is, for mine, lads.
For yours.
Isaac Heaney simply must play on the ball full time. So he doesn't just see Errol, he sees Heaney as well.
Absolutely.
How good. Mads, you got some there?
Yeah, Link Clegg. This is the grandson of Ron Clegg, Jeff. And your parents would remember him, of South Melbourne fame. For mine.
For yours.
Seeing a ruckman win the contest with smarts and physicality was great. It's been a minute. Up the Bloods, up the potty. And it has. I mean, when you talk about A-grade ruckman, it's been a while since we've had one.
Yep.
We love the hick. Yep. We absolutely love the hick. And we've had a few other in between. But really...
This is different.
Yeah.
Maybe one more on your Instagram,
Jeff. I've got Ryan Hayes here. If Mills is the Rolls Royce, then Heaney is a mint condition Tesla. Can't wait for the Broads to work with Adams. Challenge to the True Bloods boys. Get Brody on the potty.
Yeah, like challenge. Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. We're working on it.
We might put out some feelers, or they may have already gone out. But I'll go with Big Cats. So that's who will give in a bit of a bash in the third seg with. I see. I've just undone me.
You've
me
undone good it. So it, we had it all going nicely, and you've just absolutely
undone our hard work. But anyway, Cats goes with awesome win, but we can't play Armati, McLean, and McDonald in the same lineup with no ruck depletion. Need the pressure high half forwards, Wicks, to start. We turn the game around, and that's where it was made.
Yep.
So, yeah, good from Katsy there.
Good, Katsy. He has time to do a comment, but not time to sort of report
on the VFL.
Every quarter of the VFL.
Lift, Cats. Simple.
Which is disappointing.
Simply must lift. But boys, that's what we're gonna try and do with the social seg this year. Just get a little bit short and sharper. Make sure your stuff's really good. Put some thought into it. A little bit of humour too, Faithful. We love that too. There's some funny guys getting around as a part of the Faithful. But you know, it's a cheeky 9-minute grab there, and it's good to have the socials back.
Yeah, it is, Dable. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
we're awesome. Back.
Now, just before we go, I want to talk about the Union House Hotel.
Yes.
Which you'll need to come to.
Yeah, I was about to ask, where's the pub we're having a beer at before the game?
Union House Hotel. Have you been to the Union House Hotel?
I reckon I might have not before a Swans game.
I'll tell you, Jeff, let me just sort of tell you a story, mate. We picked one time randomly a pub to go to, and we had a few people rock up. So this is what we love doing this. We love involving the listeners and the faithful. You get a lot of people who are going to the footy by themselves, and they find their people, right? And we just said the Union one time, and ever since then, we've utilised the Union House because it's a bit further down. It's like right near the BP down Church Street. It's like over the road from the Rising Sun.
Swan Hotel?
Yeah.
Swan Hotel on one corner, back a corner, Union House.
Yep. So it is... It's so funny how red and white it gets now. Good. Prior to a MCG game. Obviously, we love the Rising Sun in South Melbourne. It's just a little bit too far from the ground. So we go to the Union, and there will be a lot of us there. It's going to be really fun.
Yep, so that is the pre-game. Well, I'll be getting in there straight after work, so I'll aim to get there at 6, just after 6 because the game is a 7:40 start. So get there for a beer or two. Leave when you want. We'll leave. We'll probably be leaving a little bit later than what we normally do because I honestly do not want to see any of the pregame bullshit.
No interest. So limited appetite to watch that.
Walking in the gate at 7:35, 5 minutes to grab myself a beer, sit down in my seat, 7:40, we get cracking. But the Union House, Swan Street, faithful, simply must get there.
Simply must.
And Jevy will be there too. You'll be signing autographs this week, mate. You're on the biggest pot in the land.
I've had a couple of DMs before of obviously your supporters that have got onto me. And they said, we want to see you at the the Union. So I will be there.
Yeah, beautiful, Jev. Sounds good. Sounds really good.
Love but it.
That just wraps up the socials, Mads. We'll be back. We'll hear from the sponsors. And then we'll be back with the preview for the big game against the Pies. Travellers, listen up. Tired of racking up hefty international roaming charges on your phone? Say goodbye to expensive fees and hello to Big eSIMs. Our instant online eSIMs are the perfect solution for travellers who want to stay connected without breaking the bank.
With Big eSIMs, you can enjoy secure, trusted and seamless connectivity in over 100 countries, meaning global roaming at local prices. And here's the best part. As a listener of True Bloods, you're going to get an exclusive 50% discount on all Big eSIMs purchase in March. Just use the code word TRUEBLOODS. Don't miss out on this amazing offer.
Visit BigESIMs.com now to take advantage of the deal and travel smarter. You know what I love, Mads?
What do you love, Deeps?
I love the Swannies.
Oh, so do I.
You know what I hate, Mads?
What do you hate?
It's how no one talks about it.
Oh, doesn't it just kill you?
Now, Faithful, I need you to jump on your socials. We're on your Instagrams. We're on your Facebooks. So jump on there and give us a follow. If you listen on Spotify, follow and rate 5 stars. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, rate 5 stars and leave us a glowing review. The faithful support is what makes this potty what it is. Speaking words of wisdom.
Up the Swannies.
Welcome back to True Bloods Big Game Round 1 Footy. Friday night at the G, the Swans versus the Pies, 7:40 p.m.
Are you an MCC man, Jeff?
I am MCC.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome. 2-on-1 now, Deeble.
That's sinful.
And take your AFL membership.
Let's go to the footy and have a cheese platter and wear our collars.
Can I wear this shirt?
Yeah, bloody oath you can. Bloody oath. You see, you got to be creative, Deeble.
Yeah, you got to get creative.
Got to get creative for the while everyone's listening. We don't have a video component. Jeb's wearing a very nice sort of collared Sydney party shirt, Sydney Swans party
doing a
shirt,
bit.
Which we'll probably post a photo of.
On the socials.
Yeah, on the socials. We'll probably get you out there. I reckon, but very good. No, that's fantastic. So you'll be in the members on...
No, I'm with my old man in the...
Good Lord almighty, Jeff.
I'll be with the real Swan supporters.
In the AFL members, probably, over the nice side.
Sure.
Very nice.
How good. I think we're getting them at the best possible time. I looked at that after they lost the game, and I said, well, I mean, they're going to be pretty fired up next week, and, you know, you don't often lose 2 in a row. But then if I ever look back at this... Remember when Melbourne were on that winning streak? Freo got them, then we got them. I can see this is a similar thing. They didn't look that hungry. I think we are primed here.
Are you calling premiership hangover?
Not yet.
Not necessarily.
I'm just calling. I'm saying they are vulnerable.
Yeah.
They are absolutely vulnerable at the moment. I think they're in a lot of ways... I think that Mason Cox thing that he did, although he's explained it, I just think they're mucking around a little bit. And either this will, it'll be a good test because I firmly believe they're going to come out firing, right? But realistically, if you look at that performance, there's ways to beat them. And you just got to go. It's pretty traditional Bloods footy. We just got to go harder for longer.
Did you boys watch the Collingwood game?
Yes.
I haven't seen much of it. Just seen Tom Mitchell's been subbed off here with 9 touches.
Yeah, 9 touches.
Just getting not near it?
So this is where, and Jev, I want to hear from you about this. This is where I think we expose them.
Yep.
They're slow.
Yep.
Side bottom. Pendlebury. Mitchell. Yep. Doesn't scream Fast and the Furious 9, does it?
DeGoey runs one way.
Yeah,
he's
correct.
Not playing defense.
Yeah, Nick Dacos, if there's a group of people there, he avoids it.
Yep.
So I think our strength of being able to run and gun and play slingshot, rebound, 50 football, that's what they struggled with, because GWS did the same thing and they just looked a bit slow. What did you think?
Yeah, and if you're watching it and on the coverage, they were just harping on how unorganised Collingwood look in their back half. Now, missing a couple of guys, but GWS just had their way with them. They were kicking goals however they wanted, hitting up Jesse Hogan, crumb goals, end-to-end goals. They were doing it however they wanted, and we're going to look very similar this week.
Callum Brown kicked, five?
Five.
Jesse Hogan kicked four.
Binger Daniels kicked four. And Toby Green only kicks one.
Yeah. So it's the same thing with us and Errol. You know, GWS didn't even have Toby having a massive impact, and they've belted the reigning premiers by that margin. You know, these are all things you look for. This is the blueprint. You just got to overrun them.
Yeah, so they're obviously going to test our structure on offense. They play that kamikaze style, go forward at all costs. So it's going to be a great test to, you know, how that first line of midfielders are lining
that's
up.
That's where I think they struggled, right?
Yeah.
Because they fed it to Himmelberg on a platter quite often.
Yeah.
They fed, who's the other
Sam
defender?
Taylor,
Sam Taylor.
Who's a star.
Who ate everything up.
Yep.
Ate everything up. So while that worked, again, I think they've lost a leg or two in terms of speed.
Yeah.
And I think that's impacted them.
Pendles was on three touches at halftime.
He had a shocker. De Goey only had
20. Like, he had a shocker.
With what you boys are telling me, just reading between the lines, it's the type of game where sitting a bloke behind the ball could play big dividends.
It's where if you had Mills,
yeah,
he'd play that role perfect.
Even if we can loosen up Blakey, I love when he's flying third and then he's flying off the half back line.
Agreed.
If he gets freed up.
Yeah, if he doesn't have to worry about someone as much, that's when he plays.
It's good
his
call,
best
Jeff. Good call.
Especially I think it was Pendles and Tom Mitchell coming off a half forward line and sort of getting around the ball, but not getting the ball. If that's Blakey's matchup and he lets them go up, if Tom Mitchell goes up and Blakey ducks back, I'll like to see that.
Yeah, sure. So would I.
So and I think Jeremy Howe could be coming back into the side. That's the talk this week.
Yep.
That will help that defensive structure. So you've got Darcy Moore going to a key, Jeremy Howe going to a key, and then you got probably Quaynor and someone else picking up the third tall and playing undersized.
Yep.
So if we get the right conditions on Friday night, could be a
Bruzzy.
Yeah, Bruzzy.
Bruzzy will go to someone.
You're probably right. That's the better call.
He'll give us the shit. Yeah. God, he's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But who are you looking for to come out and just go bang on the G on Friday?
Brody Grundy.
Broads again, back to back.
And that is going to signal to me that we are on.
Yeah.
We are on if he can do that 2 weeks in a row. This is football that he hasn't played in, you know, since 2019.
He's your man. Here's your invite to the party.
That is the absolute invite.
Jeff, you've got an invitation to the party as well. Who are you inviting?
Nah, it's got to be Errol. He had, last year on the G, he had 36 against the Pies.
Yeah.
It was an all-time performance. Didn't get over the line. I just want to see him just running around like he does. He's one of the fittest guys on the field.
Totally.
I want to see him outplay Nick Dacos. And we think he's better. I personally think he's better. I think he kicks more and better goals, and I think he defends for the team better. And I want to see it. I want to be there in person, and I want to watch it.
Yeah, me too.
Errol in the guts, man.
Yep.
He's a bull in there.
Yep.
He is tough. He can earn his own pill. Just get the balance right. It's like 60 inside, 40 outside.
Yep.
That's what I want to see on the weekend. I think that'll bring out his best footy.
Do you put physical pressure on Nick like we did last time?
Not to the same degree, but around the contest, get into him.
Yep.
Don't go to him at a, you know, when we're standing after a goal or something like that. Do it in the right spirit, I feel. I'd love to see us get real physical with him. Similar to what we did with Grundy. If you didn't know what, with Gorn.
Yeah.
If you didn't watch that game closely, you wouldn't have known it's happened, but there was a direct intent there to get physical with Gorn. Yeah. Get physical with Dacos, for sure.
Yeah,
and it's a sign of respect as well. Like, he's a bloody good player.
And that's what I thought last time we did that, right?
Yeah.
It's a sign of respect going after him because he's the best player on the opposition.
You know who gets my invite?
Who's that, Dable?
Braden Campbell.
Yes.
Find a way to get 20 and kick a goal.
Yes.
You could tell he was down on confidence when he chipped that one up
from
55.
Yeah.
Mate, you can kick at 65.
Yep.
Go back, kick the goal, show him how good your left peg is.
Yeah, he's...
down on confidence.
Yeah, he just kicks those. And I hope they put the tape on during the week and they say, Braids, you just kick this goal. You're the best kick, long kick at the club. And this week we see it.
Yeah. Braydon Campbell, invite to the party.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
He might even chuck his Fluorio gin on top of his on top of his shoulder and say, I'm bringing this. What are you boys bringing? Let's sure. go, Braydon.
Yeah.
Jump onto the link in the bio.
Fluorio gin.
You've got your Errol gin. You've got your True Bloods gin.
You know what? He could stake a claim to have the next gin with his face on it.
He could. So, mate, make the case, Braydon.
He's a handsome man, Deeble.
He is.
He's a handsome man.
Bit of facial hair going on with old Braydon over the offseason, too. I didn't see it. It's just like a little bit of stubble, not what you expect from old BC. It's just been incredible,
it's
though,
It's just been incredible.
Simply incredible.
look, part and parcel. Boys, if we end up on... if we wake up on Saturday morning and you're cooking your eggs... and you chuck on the radio and you're listening to Swans 2-0. That is a massive start to the season.
Yeah, it is, mate.
And then the draw only gets softer from there.
For sure. Do you see?
We can do this.
100%.
We can do this.
It's all about banking these wins early. Get this, and it's huge for the footy club. Huge.
I don't know if you remember last year, Collingwood MCG. It was a freezing cold Sunday.
Yep.
But second and third quarter, we missed 8 set shots that everyone was gettable. Bad kicking, bad football.
You're right, Jeff.
It ended up being 40 points and no one remembers the set shots you miss in the second quarter. But I was there and we're just missing easy set shots. And we were right in that game. We were playing as well as them. And you miss those kicks. And yeah.
I messaged Deeble and I said, I think at quarter time, I said, we are in this up to our eyeballs.
Yeah.
And we did that. And I know there was sinful misses. Heaney,
yep.
Haywood, yep. Sinful misses.
Yep.
First quarter, eyes on. If we're kicking, we're nailing our set shots, we'll just grow in confidence. This team will just grow. The young guys will grow. And that's when we'll see a Braydon Campbell 60 metre bomb. We'll see an Errol Goulden 60 metre bomb as well, probably. And Chad as well. And we'll just grow and grow from there.
The weather looks pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Are there any changes you're making to the side this week, boys?
Are we going to see Gus Sheldrick?
Well, no, injured.
Injured. Broken finger, 2 to 4 weeks.
In the twos. Right before round one.
Let's talk Gus Sheldrick, because this came up after the pod last week. Now, if you line up your ducks in a row, right, Gus Sheldrick is 5 midfielders out of our team.
Yep.
You've got Adams missing, you've got Mills missing, you've got Luke Parker missing.
Yep.
And then... well, he's the fourth duck.
Jordan's in front of you.
Yeah.
Warner's in front of you.
He's dead set struggling to get a spot in the side, and this injury could not come at a worse time.
Yeah, Matty Roberts gets picked. Probably it was probably they pick out of those two. And
different
Roberts
roles.
Gets picked.
Different roles. But we didn't even touch on Matty Roberts in the first seg.
We didn't touch on a lot of people.
Rising star nomination for the young man.
Love that.
95% he went by foot, Mads. 19 touches, and he was a general. Confidence in his game. There's a man with confidence in your game.
Absolutely.
They're giving him the kick out, so they must raid his leg.
We couldn't believe that. That was berserk.
Yeah.
It's been Jake
Lloyd.
Absolutely
berserk.
The change of the mantle.
And Nick Blakey forever, and they're just giving it to him. And you go, must rate this guy's leg.
If you're going at 95% and keep doing it,
he's left footers, man.
But this is what we talk about when you take your opportunity. You know, you've been picked over somebody who's been lauded over the off-season. Take your opportunity. Impact the game. It's key. It's essential.
Yeah.
95% table.
95% by foot, mate.
Jesus.
So good. But the only one change I can see is possibly the Almighty Party making way for a smaller player, potentially. Not saying that will happen.
What smaller player would that be?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the VFL this week. I don't know who played
well.
Have
we got the VFL review in from Cats?
No, Cats lift. I know it's been a long off-season, mate, but Catsy, I know you bought a T-shirt today as well, so good on you. Thanks for the support, but everyone needs a whack every now and then. It's not even a whack. It's just a gentle reminder.
Doing it out of the kindness of his heart.
And he's
taking
getting a whack.
Time out of his day. He's got a child. He's got a wife. Just do better, Katsy.
Do better, Katsy. Or Noah Hayden. Is that guy even still alive?
No, I haven't heard from him.
Noah Hayden with the VFL report, please. But yeah, not too sure on what was going on in the VFL, so not too sure who's going to come in. But who was actually emergencies on the weekend?
I was just trying to look that up. I couldn't find it anymore. So
emergencies would have been...
I think it was Aaron Francis.
Yeah.
And it was Gus Sheldrick, definitely.
Yes.
And I can't remember the other one.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, Corey Warner.
Corey Warner.
I would love Corey Warner in.
He could be
Bring
one.
Corey Warner
he
in.
He could be one.
Even if Wick starts, maybe Corey Warner sits.
Yep. Corey, again, I was saying it all last year. Corey Warner, greats up.
That's the greats up. That's the play, I think. I like that. But maybe a little bit smaller, but they might go tall and try stretch him out back down back because they were so unorganised there.
See, I wouldn't hate if we saw that to start the game. As I said, knowing the sub's going to be made if one of the bigs come off. And a small comes on if it's not working. And as long as Horse isn't stubborn to it, and he goes, we're going to keep going with this. And if it's middle of the third quarter, it's not working, let's make the change.
You know what we don't want, Jeff? You know what we absolutely hate, Jeff?
What's this?
Not using the sub.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that was another big correction on the weekend,
sinful.
Wasn't it?
Yep. Sinful.
We needed the injection. Wixie came on like halfway through the third.
Yep.
Last year, we were four times, I think, it went unused when they could have won it, and we lost games at, you know.
At the coalface, you know, when you need run, yeah.
For sure.
Guys, can we just touch on how much fitter we look in those conditions? Because it's funny, we were the fittest club in the comp in 2022.
Yep.
And then proceed to lose six games when we're leading at three-quarter time.
Well, Mads, I think it's one of the most underestimated things in the game is a pre-season for AFL footballers.
Yep.
And it was a complete reversal to what last year was. I remember it was like mid-February last year, we had 25 of 40 available. This year, it was 38 of 40-odd. You know, the Millsy was the only one not doing the contact stuff, yet he's still getting running into his legs.
Yep.
You know, you got Adams off now, not doing running. Luke Parker still running. It's only a broken arm. He'll be getting the work in. It's a complete reversal, and I think we're going to, you know, re-find that ability to run out games.
I think so.
Yeah. If we start 2-0 and we've still got some old dogs to sort of to ease their way back into the side, and Luke Parker's coming in at round 5 and we're 4-1 or something, it's just going to be golden as the season goes on. Mm. And, you know, you never rest players, but if Errol could get a week off in round 15 coming up to finals and Chad can get a week off, I know I'm thinking a long way ahead, but...
It's okay. Let's overreact. It's coming into round 1. Let's overreact.
If we start 2-0 without those three mids playing, it's only going to get better.
Yep.
Yeah, but especially for Luke Parker. You know, you're 31. You've been doing the hard yards in that midfield for 8 to 10 years. Right? This delayed start to the season, not the worst thing.
100%.
And he had a 6 to 8 week patch in the middle of last year.
Parker.
Where he was the best mid in the game. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not even putting Mayo on that.
Absolutely.
Right? And then say there was something wrong with his body at the end. The last 2 to 3 weeks, especially that he had to go forward against the Blues in that final. Did really well up there, don't get me wrong. But there was definitely something wrong with Parks towards the end of last year. And I think it's just going to pay huge dividends.
He was banged up, right?
He was banged up.
And you're absolutely right. I think he's going to come back with a completely clean bill of health. And I think we're going to be a better side for it. Now, let's do our tips.
Yes, I was just about to get them up, Mads. I've got them. How did I go last week? 1 out of 4. Set the tipping's
so
cooked
you,
already.
So you have just continued your form from last week.
Exactly
year.
Right.
Yeah,
sinful.
Sure.
You went all right this week, though?
I went all right. 3 out of 4. And, I mean, if not for Harry Mackay, I'm actually able to kick the football. It would have been 4 out of 4.
For sure. Just before we do the tips, we might just give a bit of a pump up to the merch, Mads.
Yes, it's back.
Yes.
It's back.
Some pretty slick design from old Dan Bones Elliott.
Oh, he's done great work. He's been very reliable, responsive. He's been phenomenal. I would highly recommend if you need any design work done, you get in touch with Dan Bones Elliott. We'll put his details
link him in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. we've got an Errol design. We've got a really cool Errol design.
I've got two Errol designs.
I originally didn't know what to think about the outline, and now I look at it and I'm like, that is actually pretty slick. I don't know if you've seen it, Jeff.
No, I can't. You'll see me wearing it next time you see me.
Yeah, beautiful.
I can't wait to see
beautiful.
It.
So we've got the Faithfuls jumper and t-shirt, Mads, which is a classic True Bloods logo.
Yep.
Small on the front, big on the back. We've got that in your tee and your hoodie. And it is a white merle.
That's Matt. Right.
So it's not your straight up white.
A little bit grey.
A lot of concerns about the straight up white. Oh, I'm going to get it dirty. How many people wear white shirts all the time? When it comes to a hoodie, it's like, oh, no, I can't wear that.
Deeble, with all due respect, people wear white shirts, but they do get very dirty.
Yes. Yes. You know, but anyway,
it does happen.
It looks great, the white shirt. You've got the white merle jumper. And then we've got the Errol designs, Mads.
Oh, yeah.
We've got that on the white merle, and we've got the white outline on the red jumper.
Absolutely.
For people who don't want to wear the white, Jev.
Yep,
it's a sensational design. They're slapping. It's a pre-order, so get in quick. We're going to probably place that next week, and there'll be limited stock after that.
They've already gone gangbusters, so be quick about it because we want to get them out to people ASAP.
So, yeah, click the link in the bio, the True Blood store in there, and jump on and treat yourself to a tee or a hoodie.
Jeff, who's your tip against Collingwood?
Swans win.
How far?
About 10 points. I think we're going to be better than them. I think we are better than them. They're unveiling the flag, 80,000 Collingwood supporters. I don't care.
Crash the party, you reckon?
Yeah.
Don't rock up till 7:40. That's what I'm doing. I'm not watching any of that shit.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's the last thing I want to do.
Dable?
My time is valuable.
Yes, it is.
4 goals, 24 points. We smack the reigning premiers. They go zip in two. It's a premiership hangover.
Beautiful.
Love to see it.
Love it. I think we win by just under 3 goals.
Yeah.
I think we just stay a couple of kicks ahead. Hopefully, you know what? Logan's 3 telling goals in the final quarter.
Please, Logan. Yes.
Telling goal. Now, I've got a surprise just before we do the tips.
Ooh, surprise. Here we go.
Who wore True Bloods? And it's going to be you two. I don't know if you've ever heard about this, yeah. Jeff.
I don't know about this one.
It's a game that you would go, possibly of an evening, going to the backyard with your mates.
Jesus.
You have a few beers and you sort of get someone to yell out a few numbers. Now, I'm going to be yelling out numbers of Sydney Swans players. And you've just got to guess which number I'm...
Yeah, but if it's
so who wears is the person who's wearing it now. Who wears who wore is a person who previously wore the number.
And that could be multiple people.
Right. Boys, so, your buzzers.
Is this a good game to play when you're out the back with your mates, having a couple of beers?
Having a couple of beers,
it's
that's
a good
right.
game.
That's
the,
correct.
Yeah, let's go. I'm shocking at this. The funny story, actually, when we're up at the 150th Guernsey,
yes.
I wanted to get Lizard's number on the Guernsey, and I couldn't think of Lizard's number. And I was like, well, was it 19? And it's like, well, Lizard's not 19, just saying.
Well, you tell me what number he is.
22.
That's right.
Got it now.
Now.
But anyway,
I hope
he wasn't one of your people.
Who wears number 21?
Errol. Yes, I was first.
Deeps.
1-0. Let's go, baby.
You're sharp. All right, let's go.
Yeah, just that you don't need to say your name. Just straight in the mic.
Who wore number 21?
Oh, geez.
What's his name? Small forward in our 2014.
Eamon Buchanan?
You're onto it.
Yeah. Ben
McGlynn.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You could have also gone with Leo Barry.
Yep.
Yes. I'm shocking at this. This is the worst game ever for me, but
no,
I'm 2-0 up.
It's good. It's good.
This is the hard for Jev. He hasn't played before.
No, Jev's doing fine.
He was. He would have had that one.
You can't give it away like that, Jev.
Got to think it, yeah.
Okay, this is a good one now. I've got a really good number here. Who wears number 30?
Tom McCartan.
Bang. Jev back.
2-1.
2-1.
Good, Jev.
Who wore number 30?
Don't know. I couldn't tell you one person.
Nah, I don't know either.
Okay, do you want a hint?
Yeah. Be good for the game.
Won 2 flags.
For 30.
05, 2012, 2 flags. We're in 30.
Only a couple of them.
I still don't know. It's not Lewis Robson.
Bang! It is!
I was just about to go with it.
And another bit of trivia. Robbed of 2 Norm Smiths as well.
Yes. 2 all decider. Just one question.
Yep, okay. Okay, bear with me, guys. Sorry, this is shocking podcasting. Who wears who wore number 38?
Mike Pike.
Bang.
Jevy's come from the clouds. Well done, Jev.
Wow.
Really well done.
Yeah, just some of those numbers just stick in your head, don't
they? Yeah,
they
do.
When we
they
subbed off Shane Mumford and kept Mike Pike on the field in 2012.
Wasn't that interesting?
It just sticks with you.
That was a bit of fun, boys. So, Jeff, there you go. When you're with the boys and you go to the backyard and you're having a couple of beers. Beautiful.
Who wears who wore True Blood?
I was hoping you'd sing that with me at the start, Dave, but you're a little bit slow on the uptake.
All right, we'll jump into the tips quickly, Jeff. Carlton or Richmond? Thursday night at the G.
I'll take the Blues. Not happy about it, but I think Richmond are bottom three bad.
I'll be there, and it will be the Blues by a long way. It won't be. What was it, the draw last year?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep, we were obviously all tipping the Swannies, and Saturday afternoon at the G, we got Essendon and Hawthorn.
Do you know what? If Hawthorn get up, there could be some memberships microwaved, but it'll be the Dons.
I'm going to go the Bombers. I'm going to be at this game as well.
Yeah, three-way go for the Dons, GWS and North up at Giant Stadium.
GWS. This could be blood. Yeah. This could be bad.
That'll be sickening.
GMHBA, Saturday night, Geelong and the Saints.
Geelong just win, don't they?
Yeah. They win down there for sure.
Yeah,
they do. They do play good footy down there, don't they?
And the renos are completed now, I believe.
Yep. Solid standing room down there.
Yeah, there's no more CFMEU just sort of standing around watching the football.
Do we play down at the beach house this year?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a good trip down there.
Well, we love getting down to the beach. Were you there for the West Coast game down there?
No.
During COVID when we played West Coast?
No, I wasn't.
It was the best.
Flogged them by 80 points.
It was the best.
I do remember that.
Gold Coast v Adelaide, Heritage Bank up there. Dimmer and the Gold Coast.
Gold Coast. Played good footy.
I'm going to take the Crows. I reckon you don't know what you're going to get from the Crows, and Gold Coast have put some stuff on tape. So Adelaide get to see the tape, and they don't know. Gold Coast don't know what's coming.
That's a great point, Jeff.
So I'll go the Crows.
That is a gambling mindset. I like that.
I
just think that is one of the most underrated home ground advantages in the league, I reckon, for Gold Coast.
For sure.
Who are you taking, Dave?
Sure. Look, don't really care yet. But probably Gold Coast were pretty impressive to do that against the Tigers up there. So I'll go with the Gold Coast. Melbourne and the Doggies, Sunday at the G.
Upset. Footscray.
Dogs.
I'll go the D's.
We hate the D's.
I'll go the D's.
Can't
they
tip them.
They love playing the Dogs, the D's. Like, they love it.
They do.
All the mids eat, like Petrarca, Oliver, Bont, will all have great days. I think the D's are a bit better.
Nice. Port and West Coast, formality?
Yes.
That's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
They beat the Lions by 54 points round one last year, Port. They're getting West Coast Adelaide over. This could be 100 plus.
Yep.
And then to round out in the Grenache hour, Mads, we've got Frio v the Brizzy Lions.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Over at Optus.
I think Frio are in a lot of trouble.
I think so. Tend to agree.
Yep. We call this the Bachelor's Game, the 4:40 Sunday game. You can only watch it if you're single, because if you got a missus, you got to be spending a bit of time.
And that's a completely reasonable, probably more true to life name of it. Because come to think of it, I only probably get a half.
Yeah,
just
I've got no idea what you're talking about, boys.
Do you know what we call it the Grenache Hour? Because there's nothing better. And cracking open a bottle of red, you don't have to have the whole bottle. You probably end up having the whole bottle.
You know, like middle of winter, cold,
you got the fire on,
swirling your red. It's the Grenache hour.
It's nice. And ideally, you want a good game, but usually it's something in the West.
Yep.
Now, Jev, thanks very much for coming on, mate. Where can we find the 100K Sports Pod?
So we're at 100K Sports on Instagram. And then I think we're 100K Sports on YouTube as well. And same as Apple and Spotify and all your socials, as you boys say.
If the people don't know, do you want to run them through what it is you're attempting to do, Jeff?
So it's me as a Swan supporter. I'm with two Carlton supporters, but we are trying to turn $10 into $100,000 on a multi every weekend. So it's just a bit of fun. It's all about We're not promoting gambling addiction. We're just, you and me, us three could put in $3 each, put this $10 bet on. It's a bit of fun for the weekend. So it's 10,000 to 1 odds. We've been doing it for a couple of years. We haven't hit it yet. If you go on our Insta, you'll see a video where it was actually Isaac Heaney that cost us 100 grand once. He kicked two goals through and we had him for three. So we're a bit stiff there. But yeah, if you give us a follow, go and watch the show if you like gambling. Or it's not even if you like gambling. It's small betting. It's bigger odds. It's a bit of fun. And yeah, and we do a Sunday roast as well, which is usually live at halftime of the Bachelors game.
Sure.
And we review the weekend and we give some odds, some bets that won. So
love it.
I see your technique now. So you say, oh, I've got to go do the pod when you should be hanging out with the missus.
I'll be hanging out with her from 4:40 till halftime and then we'll be watching Survivor from 7:30 onwards.
Very good. But thanks for coming on, Jeff. You've been great, mate.
Absolutely loved it. You don't have to ask me twice to talk about the Swans boys. You'll be back, I imagine.
But this has been True Bloods, the number one independent Sydney Swans fan podcast. We're number one in your hearts and we're number one on the charts, Jeff. We're speaking words of wisdom
up the potty. Deeble, how long has it been since you've had your wheels aligned?
You know what, Mads? It's probably been a little bit too long.
I wonder where you'd go to get that done.
I know exactly where you go, Mads. You call up Chadston Toyota and speak to the service team at 1547 Dandenong Road or give them a call on 9568-0933 and book in your wheel alignment.
Well, Debs, you can get four new tyres fitted by them and that includes a free premium wash on the house. How good is that?
That is sensational. And don't forget about all the Hiluxes down there, whether it's your SR5, the Rogue or the GR Sport. Take delivery before the 30th of June and you get a $1,500 worth of genuine Toyota accessories.
How good, Deeble. And don't forget, T's and C's apply.
And follow them on your social medias too, Mads, at Chadston Toyota, and talk to Lee and the team. He's a big Swannies man, so get behind Chadston Toyota this year.